2 Samuel 18. The message tonight is a desire to be remembered. I have several passages I want to read to you, and I have so much in my mind, I will try to put it together in a somewhat reasonable way so that you can understand it, and we'll see how things go. So 2 Samuel 18, verse 18. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and reared up for himself the pillar, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument. It's really Absalom's hand, Absalom's place, Absalom's Monument unto this day. Notice, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. Now, I want you to see what you have to contend with. Turn back to chapter 3. Chapter 3. So make that 14. Chapter 14. Let's see if I can find the reference I want there. Yes. 14:27. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar, for she was a woman of a fair countenance. I read that to make you think. The first passage I read to you said that he put up a pillar because he had no sons to keep his name in remembrance. Here it says 3 sons were born unto him. Well, we hope that we'll get that straightened out before we finish. But Absalom is the first one that has a desire to be remembered. Now, turn to Judges 16. Judges 16. You remember the story of Samson, how in the lust of the flesh, he has fallen into the wiles of Delilah, and now the poor man has been shorn, blinded, and he's been grinding as an animal at the grist mill. But now his hair has begun to grow again, and this is what it says in verse 28 of Judges 16. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. Now, Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. And look at verse 14. Nehemiah 13:14, and Nehemiah says, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the observances. And look at verse 22, the last topic. He says, remember unto me, O God, this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy loving kindness. And verse 29, remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all foreigners, and appointed charges for the priests, and for the Levites, everyone in his work, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. But this is unique for this purpose. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of God. Now, let's look at Psalm 25. This time, we have a negative request. Psalm 25, and verse 6, David says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me." Now, in the New Testament, Luke 23, verse 39, "And one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, said, Dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And now he says to our Lord, Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And he said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, the day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And now in chapter 22, we'll find it also in 1 Corinthians 11, but we'll just read this reference in Luke 22. Our Savior has partaken of the Passover with his disciples, and now he is instituting the Lord's Supper in verse 19. "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all these portions that we've read. We thank you that you've given us not the mind of one man, but you've given us the mind of men for over a great period of years, and the one desire of them all was to be remembered. We are thankful, our Father, for the lessons contained in these passages, and we desire by thy Spirit's help that these truths shall be conveyed to all of these who are here. Help us, our God, to have the proper desires in our heart, and let them be desires that are pleasing in thy sight. So prepare every heart to receive the truth and empower the lips of thy servant. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. From all the passages I've read, I find that no matter what station in life you are, what is your moral condition, whether you're young or old, all of these individuals had one desire. They wanted to be remembered. Now, there were others I did not read about who also mentioned about being remembered. And one of them was a woman, because I will mention that to show you that not only men, but women as well, have a desire to be remembered. And it was Hannah, when she was childless, and she prayed to the gods of Israel, and she said, "Remember me." Now, I've limited these who desire remembrance in their petitions to God, because one of the loveliest portions that I could have brought to you was poor Joseph when he was in prison and he had interpreted the butler's dream, and he said, "Now, when all of this comes to pass, remember me." But that is a request of a man to another man. But all of these requests that I've read to you are requests from men to God. And one of them was a negative request, because I'm sure of this. You want God to remember you for good, but how many of you want God to remember all the sins that you committed when you were young? Not one of you. And neither did David. David said, "Remember not the sins of my youth." What does that mean? David said, "I have been young and now am old." So evidently he's a mature man now. But the sins of his youth have never been forgotten. And so for all of you who are still young, let me give you this advice. Do not commit sins in your youth, because you will never be able to get them out of your mind. The best thing is to have no sins to tell God not to remember when you confess that you committed those sins in your youth. Now, in the New Testament, as well as in the Old Testament, we have those that ask for remembrance. And of all things, we can understand someone like a thief on the cross saying, "Remember me." But who could remember the Son of God speaking to sinners such as we and saying, "Remember me"? And so everybody desires to be remembered in one way or another. Now, I thought of it, and truthfully, I've never had it in my mind, a desire to be remembered. I've never desired to erect a pillar in my honor so that my name might be remembered. But there is one thing that I would like. When our Savior spoke a parable, both in Matthew 25 and in Luke 19, there was the servant to whom he gave a talent, 5, 2, and 1. And when he came to that servant who had buried that one talent, he said this. He was pleading it as an excuse. He said, "I know you, that you are an austere man. You reap where you did not sow, and you gather where you do not scatter." How many of you believe that that's a true remembrance of the Savior? And yet that's what he remembered. Isn't that a sad thing? Let me ask you this. If the book of Job had not been completed and God had not come to vindicate him, what would his friends have thought about Job had, instead of his recovery, he died? That he was a most miserable sinner. They were accusing him, "You have robbed widows. You've sent the naked away unclothed. You've sent the hungry away without feeding them." And they made all of these accusations against Job, and God in heaven is bragging about Job to Satan, and his friends on earth are criticizing him and condemning him. And this is the sad thing. Had Job died, they would have said, "He had us fooled his whole life long, but now we know, and we've told him before he died, he is the worst of sinners." Now, that's the only thing. I do not want you to remember me that way. Remember me in a truthful way. Remember this. Do not remember me like Brother Rolls, who, if you give him a time to preach, it means nothing. He'll go over and over. But remember me that when it comes the hour, and it may change tonight, I always stop on time. And also, whenever I preach to you, I have committed the time to God, asking a blessing for the people of God. And also, I spoke to a friend that I've known for 40 years, and something came up, and he was questioning something I said, and I asked him this question. I said, you have heard me preach for 40 years. I said, tell me one thing that I have ever told you from the Bible that is wrong. And he said, I'm not able to tell you one. Now, that's all right. You can remember me that way. As for putting up a pillar and emblazoning my name on it, that means absolutely nothing. But some people want that. If you've ever been to Monticello, if you go to the grave of Thomas Jefferson, he has a pillar erected, and he has some things written on it. I would have thought that he wanted to be remembered as president, but he simply wanted to be remembered for some of his writings, and also that he had started the University of Virginia. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That's what he wanted to be remembered by. And when they wanted to give George Washington an exalted place in Washington, he said, no. He said, I want to be buried on my own property, and if you go to his property, you'll find in an obscure place down in a hollow this grave, and inside that grave of others is the grave of George Washington. But man put a pillar for him in Washington, D.C., that's higher than Thomas Jefferson's and any other man. But it wasn't Washington's desire. And so some people want to be remembered, and others do not want to be remembered. I know a dear Jewish man that lived across the street from me, and in his old age, he came into some money, and he owned a large plot of land, and the school wanted that land. And putting it in today's terms, they said, this land is worth $100,000. They said, we'll give you that much money for this plot of land. And the man said this. He said, if you'll name the school you're going to build Saul Kaplan's School, he said, I'll let you have it for $5,000. Isn't that remarkable? He was willing to pay almost $100,000 to have his name on a high school. Unfortunately, he was rejected, and so it did him no good. But some people want to be remembered. And I can say this, and then I will stop talking about myself. Yes, if I do have something erected to my memory, in Raleigh, North Carolina, we have the family graveyard, and my grandfather, who had foresight and had some money, put up a great big stone with the name Mills on it. But everybody else that's buried there, they have a little stone about the size of this table and not as wide, and all they have on it is the name of the person who lies buried there when they were born and when they died. And that's all that I want, but if you must put something for me to be remembered by on that stone, put these words, I have given them thy word. That is what the Savior said twice in John 17. And so, if you have to say something, just say, I have given them thy word. And so, some people want to be remembered. Some people want to be remembered in a great way, but please notice, some want to be remembered after they die. Some want to be remembered at the time that they are dying. And some want to be remembered when Christ comes into his kingdom, various times when they want to be remembered. But all of them, for some reason, want to be remembered. Now, let me give you a little explanation about Absalom. The only explanation is when you read chapter 14, as well as chapter 18 of 2 Samuel, it says that Samuel, in his lifetime, had three sons and one daughter, and the daughter's name was Tamar. And then it says in 2 Samuel 18:18 that the reason he erected that pillar was because he had no son to carry on his name. The simplest explanation is that he had those three sons, and they all died. Now, if I mentioned three other names, suppose I mentioned the name Tamar, Maacah, and Abijam. Would that give any help to what I'm telling you about Absalom? No. But many times you can solve this question that arises when you read it and it seems to be a contradiction. What happens is this. You'll find that Absalom had a sister whose name was Tamar, and when he had children, he named one of his children after his sister whom he admired so greatly. He named her Tamar. And then Tamar had a daughter, and her name was Maacah. And Maacah had a son, and his name was Abijam. Now, this is the beauty of it. He wanted a son. He never had a son. But he had a daughter, he had a granddaughter, and then finally he had a great-grandson who was the son of Rehoboam. Because you'll find that Rehoboam had married a descendant of Absalom, and the name was Maacah, and the child that they had was the child Abijam. And so isn't this remarkable? Here is this Absalom, and he erects a pillar to his name because he has no son to keep his name in remembrance. But now, finally, when he comes to his great-grandson, he does have a son to keep his name in remembrance. But I read long ago that that stone, that pillar that was erected, that the Israelites would come up to it and throw rocks at that stone because of all the people in the Old Testament that were to be reproached and condemned, it would be Absalom, because he was both a murderer of his brother, and had it been left to him, he would have murdered his own father. A terrible thing. And yet this man, who has lived that life, twice attempted murder, once successful, once not successful, this man wants to erect the pillar that his name might be remembered. I think if I lived such a life, I would want my name to be forgotten. But what happens is that his name is remembered. And the sad thing is this. His name is remembered even without that pillar. But what is remembered about him is not the good things, but the bad things. He was a son that was spoiled by David his father. Absalom was spoiled, and Adonijah, his son, was spoiled. Amnon, his son, was spoiled. And this might help you. David, in all, if you look at all the references, had some 20 sons. And his first son was Amnon, and his second son was Kileab, and his third son was Absalom. And what happened was this, that the firstborn son, Amnon, Absalom murdered him, and the next one that was in line for the throne, he never had any pretensions, and so he didn't desire to be king. But Absalom, who was next in line, he was determined to sit on the throne, and he was prepared to put his father to death. And yet this man, with such a heart filled with evil, has this desire to be remembered. But what happens is this, that some, just like Judas Iscariot, will never forget Judas Iscariot. Never. And not for any good thing he did, but for the one evil thing that he did. And so some of us are going to be remembered whether we desire it or not. And some people, while they want their names to be remembered, others are against them and they want their names to be destroyed. You'll find in the Psalms that the enemies of Christ say, When shall he die, and when shall his name be obliterated, taken away? And so that's what they wanted to have done to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it to be forgotten, to be eradicated, never to be remembered. But what happens is that God says this concerning his son. He says, thy name shall endure as long as the sun. Thy name shall never be forgotten. And so here is man that is wanting to destroy the name of Christ, but his name shall never be forgotten. God has given him the name that's above every name, and man wants that name to be destroyed. When will he die and his name be forgotten? When will it be obliterated? And God says, his name shall endure as long as the sun. And that is what God says concerning his son. Now, the Lord Jesus, of all things, and I will anticipate this right now, the Lord Jesus himself said, I want to be remembered. And of all things, the way the Savior wanted to be remembered was for those that had trusted him as Savior to take bread and the fruit of the vine, to break it, to partake of it, to drink of the fruit of the vine. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Can you imagine the Son of God from heaven coming down and he says to mankind, I just want you to remember this about me. Lord willing, I'll come back to that. But I want you to see that even Christ wants to be remembered for some things, and some want to be remembered in a great way by the erection of a pillar, whether they deserve it or not. And others who desire the greatest remembrance, they are quite contented to be remembered with two or three gathered in his name, breaking bread and drinking the fruit of the vine. But when you think of it, think now, whether good or bad, of all the cathedrals in the world that are built in honor of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Magnificent cathedrals. And yet, at first, the Lord Jesus had nothing. They met in homes. They had no building, no church building in which to meet. And the Lord Jesus never said, erect these cathedrals to me. He never wanted that at all. But he did want it to be, he wanted to be remembered in the hearts of his people. And so, whether a person is a sinner, he has a desire to be remembered, or whether he's the sinless Son of God, he wants to be remembered, but for different reasons. Now, the difference about Nehemiah and his request to be remembered was this. He said, Lord, he said, I have taken the usury that has been placed upon your people. The Levites are starving. The temple is in ill repair. He said, I've seen to it that your servants are cared for, that the building is repaired. I've done all good things. I've seen that righteousness prevails. He says, now, Lord, you remember me for the good that I've done for you. Now, usually I say, oh, Lord, remember me, and it's something that I need. It is something that I'm dependent of God for. But here is Nehemiah, and he is able to lay before God all the things that he has done for good. And he says, do not remember me according to grace alone. He says, but according to what I've done for you, I want you to remember me. And that same thing was mentioned to God by Hezekiah when God said, through Isaiah the prophet, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah went and he prayed to God, and he told God how he had faithfully served him and worshipped him his whole life long. And he said, now, Lord, do not take me away in the midst of my days. And so God sent Isaiah back and said, tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. And so now, all of us want God to remember us. But when you say, God, I want you to remember me, tell me, what credentials can you present to God for a reason of remembering you? I'm afraid that we would have to say, Lord, in spite of my failures, I want you to remember me. But there are some, thank God, who have good works, who have a life that is above reproach. This is what Paul could say. He said, herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Which one of you can say that? He could say that. And so if he wanted anything from God, he could go into his presence and plead that with him. And so while we are cast upon the grace of God for salvation, it would be good if we had something good to tell God that we had done for him. This do in remembrance of me. We could say, Lord, I have not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. I have remembered the poor. I have visited the sick. I have clothed those that are naked. Lord, I have done all of these things. Remember me. It would be good if at times you could examine your life and see if you have anything to tell God good that you have done, because that principle is set forth in the life of Nehemiah. He's done something for God. Tell him about those things. Now, it is sad to say, but most of the time in the life of Samson, he was not thinking of God. Samson won many battles for God. He fought for God, but it was not because he loved God. What would happen would be this. He would lust after some woman, and then because of that and circumstances that are changed, his enemies would come upon him, and then he would go out and kill all of these enemies. But he would do it not because he loved God, but because of the lust of the flesh and the trouble he was in, and then he would do all of these things. And now, in his death, he's going to kill more of the enemies of God than he did in his lifetime. But the reason he wants to be remembered is this. He has been weakened. He's like an ordinary man. But his eyes have been put out. And he says, Lord, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me one more time and give me strength just this once, that I may bring down all these walls upon the enemies that have put out my eyes. And so he wants to be remembered in death or vengeance upon his enemies. And so think, some of us are going to die, and some of us want to be remembered as Hezekiah did, as Nehemiah did, but some of us say, it's not worth living anymore, I'm blind. But oh God, remember me and give me strength for an act of vengeance as I die. And so the people in the Bible want to be remembered for so many varied things. And what is so remarkable is that God has remembered them all. He has caused Absalom to be remembered. And who would think that in a great grandson, Absalom would finally have a son that could cause his name to be remembered? If you ask me, who is my great grandfather? Well, I would delight to tell you and go back. And so he could say, oh yes, I could tell you about my great-grandfather. Why? He could say, because there was not a man that was more beautiful in the nation of Israel. He was without flaw from the foot to the head. He was a beautiful man, and he had ever so many good qualities, but they were perverted. And so, yes, he had a great-grandson that could tell good things, but then the shame, he would have to tell the faults of his great-grandfather as well. And so God works in such strange ways. Now, here is one, and this one is the thief on the cross. And who would ever think that he, in his dying hour, as in the case of Samson, in his dying hour, would ask to be remembered? But they both did. And Samson said, remember me and give me strength to take vengeance on my enemies. And this thief that is being crucified said to our Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And so think, he doesn't say as his other thief that was being crucified said, are you not the Christ? If you are the Christ, save thyself and us. Says nothing like that at all. He says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Why would that man ever think that Jesus would remember him? Suppose your whole life had been one of sin, and at that very moment, because of the life of sin that you live, you are being crucified. How would you ever think of turning to the Son of God and saying, Lord, remember me? But he did. And so evidently, the man was illumined by the Spirit of God, and he saw in the Lord Jesus Christ a heart of compassion and tenderness and forgiveness. And had he not heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so here is this one. And he did not even say, as the leper did, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He simply said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. I'm leaving everything to you. In a coming day, when you come in your kingdom, I want you to remember me. And here is where the Lord Jesus did exceeding abundantly above all that he asked or ever thought. What did he mean, remember me when you come in your kingdom? Well, the man had faith that this one who was being crucified with him was going to live again. And he who had no kingdom, who was being reviled and saying, you've said you're the Son of God, you've saved others, yourself you cannot save. That's what the others were saying about him. This thief miraculously saw in him that he was going to rise from the dead and that he was going to come into his kingdom in the coming day. And he said, I'm willing to wait for that. Lord, you remember me when you come in your kingdom. But the Lord Jesus did exceeding abundantly above all that Martha asked or thought. And the Lord Jesus has done exceeding abundantly above all this thief asked or thought. When the Savior said to Martha concerning the death of her brother Lazarus, thy brother shall rise again. She said, yes, Lord, I know he'll rise again at the last day. And the Lord Jesus said, not the last day. You don't understand. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I can raise him right now. He did not tell her all of those things. He said, do you believe this? And she ambiguously said, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. And she soon found that the Lord Jesus was able to do more than she ever expected of him. And in like manner, this thief, who would have thought that he, who knew nothing about life after death, what did he know about life after death? And yet, he knows that he is going to be living after he dies, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be living after he dies, and that this one who is rejected, he came unto his own and his own received him not, he knows that Christ is going to come in his kingdom. And so by faith he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And the Lord does more than that. When I come in my kingdom, this is what I'm going to do. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so that is the wonderful thing. And if you ask me about my desire to be remembered, yes, I want to be remembered, but not so much by you, dear ones. It really doesn't matter whether you remember me or whether you forget me, if the Lord Jesus has remembered me. You see that? Suppose you forgot me. You remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says, there was a little city that had just a few people in it, and there was an old, wise man, a poor, wise man in that city. And he said, a great king came, and he besieged it, and he built bulwarks against it. And it said, that poor, wise man, through his wisdom, knew how to deliver that city. And he delivered that city, and that king was overcome. And it said, yet the people forgot him. Isn't that remarkable? They owed their lives to him, and yet they forgot him. And so, it makes no difference. The important thing is this. I tell you that I have asked to be remembered. Yes, not the way that Absalom did, not the way that Nehemiah did, but I've asked to be remembered the way the thief on the cross did. I've asked the Savior to remember me when he comes in his kingdom. But I asked him, Lord, remember me in forgiving my sins, taking my sins away. And everything that he's going to do for that thief on the cross, he is going to do for me for this reason. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I remember in Luke chapter 16 that there was this man named Lazarus, and he had nothing his whole life long. And it says, he died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And so I'm not concerned if you forget me, because if the Lord has remembered me, and he said, the day you're going to be with me in paradise, why, here is this man, Lazarus, and he is that day in the bosom of Abraham, and I am that day going to be with Christ in paradise, or even better. And so that is the remembrance that you want to ask about. It doesn't matter if they remember what you've done. your service for God. It's good if you can be remembered that way, but the important thing to be remembered is that your Savior has been asked to be remembered. Lord, remember me. And the Lord Jesus says, today I say unto you, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, why could the Savior make him that promise? Why could the Savior say to that paralytic, son, today thy sins are forgiven thee? Because the Lord Jesus is going to shed his precious blood. And therefore, when he dies on the cross, the greatest thing that Christ could say concerning himself was this: I want you to remember me by taking bread and the fruit of the vine, because my body is bearing your sins in it upon the tree, and my blood is cleansing you from all sin. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, and greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it says, the Lord Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And so the Lord Jesus says, I want you to remember one thing that is recorded in these words, this do in remembrance of me. And what do we do? If you think of the one who loved you unto death, who gave his body and his blood to forgive you for your sins, to redeem you from destruction, then what greater thing could a man be remembered for than that? And that is what Christ wants to be remembered you for. He wants you to remember that he loved you and he died for you on the cross. Now, there are some who have never asked to be remembered, and there are some who have never erected a pillar, and it never entered their mind to be remembered. It's like that centurion. When the Savior heard of his sick servant, he said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. No, Lord, just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, in like manner, Mary, the sister of Martha, when the Lord is at supper, she comes in and anoints our Lord. And Judas Iscariot starts it, and the rest of the apostles join in with him. Why this waste? Why was not this ointment sold for a great sum and given to the poor? And the Lord Jesus said, let her alone. She's done what she could. She's anointed my body beforehand for the burial. He said, and I tell you this, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that which this woman has done to me shall be spoken of for a memorial, a remembrance of her. And so she asked not to be remembered, and yet this woman who did something for Christ, that was the way that she was to be remembered. And so how can we be remembered? Let's say this. Let us say that Christ has given us 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent, and we have used those talents to the glory of God. When we face our Lord, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And that is the way that we can please Christ. And that is the way that we can be remembered. And so, just make sure of this, that you remember the Lord in the way that he told you to. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but see the preciousness to Christ of the broken bread and the fruit of the vine. It means so much to him. And let us continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. And if we do that, then when Christ comes back, he will reward us for the things that we've done, and we will be remembered for the good that we've done, even though we've never asked God to remember us. But that's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your great goodness to us. Lord, thou dost know that some have their minds set on this life. Some of them want their name to be broadcast. We've heard of some that are willing to pay large sums of money just to have their name remembered. Our Father, we care nothing about that. But we do desire that the name of thy Son is remembered. His name is his ointment poured forth. And our desire, Father, is that his name shall be remembered. And you've told us that his name is going to be remembered. His name shall be remembered and shall be continued as long as the sun, and all nations shall call him blessed. And that is the name that we desire to be remembered. But our Father, if he is remembered, then we shall be remembered, because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And he's promised that where he is, there we shall be also. And so we thank you for all of those that want to be remembered, and that all of us want to be remembered for good things, not selfish things of the flesh, but things that shall bring glory to the Son of God. And we thank you, Father,